up, everybody? It's your boy Flash from ALWT Gaming, aka Malachi 30 Smirks. And I'm here with It's the Nine Ball and Mildewy Carrot on episode 32, season 2 of 9-6-2022. That's September 6th for anyone that did not know. And I'm going to start off with, of course, you guys already know that I have to go around the room, make sure that everyone's good, see what everyone's been up to, especially this past Labor Day weekend. I want to start it off with Mildewy Carrot.
I was like, you cut out there for a second there, bro. Your drum roll was so high frequency that your mic just like, nah.
Did it really? Yeah, did it really go out?
Yeah. Yeah. It just stopped. Is he talking? Is he talking? Like, I can't hear. I don't hear anything.
It's possible I wasn't loud enough.
I'm pretty sure, though, as it was going, though, I did hear some dogs howling in the background. So.
Shut up.
I went to a commercial break at first.
Mildewy Carrot, man.
How are you talking about that Rise energy drinks. You know?
That Raise energy. Exactly.
Raise energy drinks. Sorry. Can't talk today.
You good.
I'm doing okay. This Labor Day weekend, went to a friend's wedding, you know, had a good time there, you know, celebrated that with them. So it's always good to see that step in their life and all, and, you know, only get slightly a little bit jealous, you know, still being single, you know, just a little. but definitely big congratulations to them, you know, best wishes and everything. Afterwards, pretty much just was, there was a Greek festival during, Labor Day weekend, so, you know, it's kind of the thing. If you got a large Greek community running, normally a lot of times they'll do it around Labor Day. So we had family of mine went down there. Good food, dancing, music, all a good time. So I had enjoyed that. Came home, did some Monster Hunter Rise with some friends, helping one friend get through up to Sunbreak so we can get her through that towards endgame. And then Nineball and I were on World on Monday, and then I was also been doing V Rising, Grounded, getting ready for that. And then now that information's been coming out about Cyberpunk, going to be getting back on that, trying to make sure all profiles are set up and running. So,
heard that.
Yeah, just a lot of gaming.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nineball, you good sir, how have you been? What's been going on with you over this fantastic weekend?
Oh my god, you just showed me the best case ever.
You like that case? That's what I want to get. That's actually the one I'm
like,
want to get.
I'm pulling this up now, and I'm just like kind of curious.
Little side note for anyone that's listening right now, audio or live right now.
Oh my god.
It's like an Alienware style. Like, I love it.
Isn't even Alienware. Like, this is what Alienware wants to be like.
But that's the one I want, and it's not like, I mean, it's pricey for a case, but I think it's still, it looks beautiful to me, and that's what I want to get. I do want to get that case. So for anyone that's curious, like, I do have this case that I appreciated and liked that we got from Micro Center. I think it was like 50, 60 bucks, something like that. It wasn't too expensive. And it's a beautiful case that I have right now. It's just pretty, it's pretty standard. Has the little glass on the side so I can look at that in it and all that good stuff. But this case that I saw on Amazon, 160 bucks, just looks beautiful to me. Like, it looks futuristic, and I would love to have a case like that. And of course, upgrade the guts of my PC as we go forward. But this case is definitely what I want.
Like I brought up the last week, this is the perfect time. GPU prices have dropped again. An RTX, I think 6700 is a 430, and I just looked up a 3070 was showing up for about $500, $499. We'll say $500.
I'm actually running a 670 RTX 670 XT in my system, and when I got it was when it came out first, like when it first came out, and it was around like $900, guys. So you're getting $500 off, but I love this thing. It runs really well. So if you're looking for a first time build but want a decent, a good, strong GPU, I'd go with this one. It's a GDR6, you know, it's really good, you know, so that's what I recommend.
RTX 3070 Ti.
Okay.
Which is just murdering it right now. I always get the four of the Win editions. These are like thick, fat boys right there. This thing just it takes up space. Space for days. These are some big, chunky kids.
Now, for people to know, the one that Nineball is running is an NVIDIA brand. I am running Radeon, but to be honest, both are really good companies in terms of graphics cards. So, it just comes down to preferencing and pricing and what you can find. I'd say, you know, keep your mind open and keep an eye out for both of them, because you know you may find that one of the ones you wanted for NVIDIA may be sold out. Because I'm going to tell you guys, there's a lot of people who are preferencers out there who would buy them up, but you may find the same with Radeon. And I'll tell you this: like, I have not had problems with, you know, crossing, you know, GPUs with CPUs. So these companies, they're not hard against each other. Like, they love the competition, but they will still try and work with each other. So make everything work for you.
Yeah.
So open mind when building a PC.
But yeah, but that was a little detour on over to the PC spec world. I know that my link had kind of sparked the conversation on that. But Nineball, I did get sidetracked. Did you already say what you've been up to over the weekend?
Not too much over the weekend. We had a absolute blast, like Mewtwo said, playing some Monster Hunter World. Outside of that, I was just caught up on shows. I watched She-Hulk and I think I finished with Sandman. And just hung out with family.
There you go. I had a very similar weekend to Mildewy Carrot. I also went to the same wedding, and one of our own ALWT Gaming, Bailey Levu, got married. So congratulations out there, Bailey. Woo!
Live it up.
Yep. Obviously, best wishes and luck to you guys, and hope you guys have a long, fruitful, and productive and happy life together. Video game wise, like, I've been getting caught up on all my anime, getting much further in Bleach. I'm actually the furthest in Bleach than I've ever been, and I'm getting ready for the Thousand Year Blood arc that's supposed to be dropping in October. So I'm looking forward to that. Classroom of the Elite is on episode 10 right now, so they only got 3 more weeks to go, because they only got they're only going up to episode 13 and then revisiting it later. But it's very it has me very curious. Definitely some good stuff there. A game, a little somewhat blasted in the past, but not really. It's only been a year. But we did a Phantasy Star Online stream at the end of 2021, going into 2022. And I did enjoy the gameplay mechanics of it and all that good stuff. Was that for you in space? The linking up was a little odd. I think that's where we had the biggest trouble, because you had to be on certain channels. Yeah, but I did go ahead and start up New Genesis, Phantasy Star Online 2, New Genesis, which is also Phantasy Star Online 2, but it's like a new era into it. It had just recently came to consoles. And I let me tell you, man, this is a different game than what we played. I was expecting the same game, and the battle system is very similar, but the game itself is... I like New Genesis so far more than our time with PSO Online 2.
So actually, when we were on playing Monster Hunter World, Silent actually jumped on with us. One of our friends who we play with a lot, Silent, he jumped on, and he actually showed us a video clip that he had made of the Phantasy Star. So we kind of got to see him play through it a bit, and definitely looks very interesting and all. Like, you know, definitely looks, like you said, like a lot better than what we played originally when we did the New Year's stream. I just told him, though, it's like, if you get me into another game, I'm not going to get anything done. And I saw you playing that, and I'm like, how is he able to play all these games to get through his listing? I'm struggling, man. Like, he's married, he's got a kid, like, he's got a life, and I'm the single guy here going, like, the frick?
No, I did go ahead, like, I started it this past Sunday, actually, me and a couple of my buddies who also used to play Phantasy Star back on GameCube. We came up in conversation. We were talking about it as we were doing our NFL draft. And I'm like, if you guys are free, like, we're off on Monday, let's go ahead and just play this out. Let's go ahead and see how you guys like it. This will be my first time jumping into it too as well. And that's exactly what we did. We went ahead and did that. And I was like, man, this game is really, really fun. Like, it was surprisingly fun. It was like it's what I would want Genshin Impact to be. Genshin Impact to me was still fun and beautiful, but as far as the multiplayer aspect of it, that's the part that was like daunting, because you had to be at world adventure level 6 or something weird like that, and it took you forever to get to that point. Not in here. You literally just go through the introduction, bam, able to link up, go straight into dungeons with people, And I like it literally felt like Genshin Impact meets Final Fantasy, or not Final Fantasy, it meets Sword Art Online, meets World of Warcraft, meets Monster Hunter World. It literally feels like that. And I was like, this game is actually quite awesome. And I played a lot of it solo yesterday, and I have no regrets. And it's so funny because, like, when I was fighting, like, massive amounts of monsters, like, Malachi was down there. He's like, oh, my gosh. Oh, let's go. Like, he's freaking out. And it was just so funny. It was just so hilarious. I wish I recorded it. I mean, I can't play and record at the same time. But, man, it was so funny. Like, actually, Silent was on the stream with me. And he was, not the stream, but when I was playing, and he was just cracking up in the background. Just, yeah. So I would definitely, if you guys have yet to actually check it out, like, that game is a game that I definitely do think I'm going to be playing periodically. Like, I'll probably be playing Final Fantasy 14 more, but this game, like, it breaks up the monotony of what an MMORPG is. It's like open world fighter / adventure / exploration. Even there's even crafting stuff in there too as well, which is really cool. So I was blown away by how great this game was.
Yeah, currently I've got it downloaded. I told Silent I'm going to download it, check it out.
You should definitely check it out. I highly recommend for you guys to check it out. Customization in there for sure. So far, like, Silent is not a fan of the story, but so far the story has me interested. It's actually not bad. Like, I, again, I'm more hot on the story than Silent is, but I'm drawing to the characters that they're presenting in there, and I was like, all right, I want to see where this goes. So we'll just have to kind of see. We'll have to wait and see.
I played a lot of, for me, it looks a lot like
Star Ocean.
Star Ocean, yeah.
Yep.
It has that Star Ocean-y look to it.
Yeah, as Phantasy Stars typically do. I'm not surprised. So, as you just saw, I was able to name the game right off the first guess. so it's very similar, but it's really fun, fast pace. The combos don't break either, so you can just keep comboing like forever. But with that being said, the stun capabilities or the delay factors on the monsters is not always like you're when you're hitting them. It's not always that they're just going, they're not always doing that. So you still have to be mindful of your dodges and all that stuff. And you could just be running out there at level 12 and then, bam, out of nowhere, you're in the area. There's a level 64 monster there. Do you want to take it or not? You probably don't. But that has happened to us a couple times. And I got one-shotted once because I tried to be ballsy and take it. It's a really, really fun game. I'm really enjoying my time with it.
Silent loves it too.
Yeah. Silent. And I'm not surprised that Silent likes it too, because again, the reason why I got into Phantasy Star Online was because of Silent. Like, I've known Silent for years and years and years now at this point, and he's the one that got me into it. Whenever I would go to his house, we'd play GameCube, and we just played Phantasy Star 1 and 2 just over and over, and like I would get through all these bosses and stuff like that, and I always had the dual daggers and stuff, and it was a lot of fun. But enough about that. We're going to jump right into the stories, because we have 5 stories to talk about today with a couple fun ones out there. The first one that you guys may or may not have clicked on this link for is Perfect Dark Details ... or not. Jenny Zhang from GameSpot says this in the article. Head of Xbox Studio Matt Booty recently said that a modern AAA game development has changed to encompass multiple studios working on the same title. According to VGC, aka Video Game Chronicles, Booty spoke at PAX West in Q&A and fielded a query of asking if COVID-19 was responsible for many release delays. In response, Booty said that though the pandemic is indeed a factor, how AAA game development has changed is also contributing factors in delays. AAA games are big and AAA games are big and increasingly getting bigger. Games of such complexity requires more intense QA, and according to Booty, studio partnerships He specifically put it out to Perfect Dark as an example. It was announced in 2021 that Perfect Dark would be co-developed by the Initiative and Crystal Dynamics. Quote, so we just did this big partnership with Crystal Dynamics, and I read online, oh, this must mean there's a problem or something. It's quite the opposite, right? Booty said, you've got this veteran team of Crystal Dynamics, a big AAA team with over 100 people that becomes available. Of course, we want to work with them, particularly if they've made games like that before. End quote, end story. So, hearing this, as far as, again, AAA games getting delays, all that stuff, what Matt Booty is telling us right now to the public and everything like that, I want to go to Perfect Dark Expert. It's the Nine Ball. What are your thoughts about all of this?
I don't know. This is sort of like on the same thing of Silent Hill, to where it shows up and then it just disappears and then it shows up again. I mean, I'm thinking it's going to come out, and I'm hoping it does, but I have no idea what to say on this one. Hopefully with Crystal Dynamics on the wheel, though, it shouldn't be too bad. I mean, I'm hoping it is, because they did, Crystal Dynamics did Tomb Raider.
Was it Eidos Montreal that did The Avengers, or was that Crystal? That was Crystal Dynamics, right?
Hit or miss.
Crystal Dynamics was on The Avengers, but you gotta remember, The Avengers is a completely different format comparative to Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider was first person, third person shooter exploration survival type game.
And
Avengers was more like combat, third person combat, I really don't know what else to tag onto it, but it was two completely different game sets. So,
literally, just silent just says hyped AAA games gets delayed. Quote, more unsurprising news at 11.
Just in.
This is it. Water is wet. Yeah,
which don't, is not silent. Don't tell me. Don't tell me sand is dry. Don't.
Well, that and again, like, this is not just talk about just Perfect Dark. This is talk about a lot of the AAA games that's coming out from at least from Xbox Studios that commented on this. This is not really surprising to me. It's not really surprising. I don't know, though, how it's obviously a mystery here as how far in development games like Perfect Dark really are. Because if it's supposed to come out in 2021, then it's just how long they've been really working on this, especially if it's going to be delayed and we don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if we don't know, actual.
Ten weird facts. That's about saying number six will shock you. I love you, man.
I forgot what it was. It threw me off just now. He should go for ads, my dude.
But I feel like he should be that one guy, just that one person on Twitter. Does the news streaming for Twitter groups, those random streams, this just in, blah blah blah. Find out here at six. He needs to be that head. He needs to be that headline guy. It's who he needs to be.
But yeah, no, I think it's one thing to delay. I mean, now granted, for me, I did not know that Perfect Dark had a release year window. But for you to have a release year window and then now it's nowhere in sight, that's a little problematic to me.
It's not too surprising at Microsoft. They do this all the time.
To me, that's surprising for any company to do that.
No, it's not. It's Microsoft. Several games in Microsoft's because it's disappeared. One of which was the game I was waiting God knows how long for, which was Phantom Dust. No, that's Konami. And everybody knows.
Literally just silence says Scalebound.
Yeah, it showed that off, I believe, at an E3, along with Perfect Dark, and I was excited. And then just never happened.
Yeah, it was supposed to. Yeah, Scalebound was apparently called out back around initial release in 2017. Ugh. Nothing has happened. We're 5 years in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not there. It's gone.
Yep.
It's in Davy Jones's locker.
What do you? I mean, as we're all like kind of pitching in out here, what are your thoughts about this update here, Mildewy? I know me and Nineball kind of chipped in a little bit, but what are your thoughts about all this?
I mean, until I hear concrete, you know, evidence or proofing or see like a trailer or something, and even then, to be honest, sometimes the trailers just don't mean anything. You know, things we can point out. Obviously, you know, Silent called it out. Scalebound, Nineball called out Phantom Dust. You know, I could call out, you know, this is a completely off group one. But, I mean, Metroid, you know, Prime 4 has been called out. We haven't heard of anything on that. So
it exists.
I mean, supposedly. they showed us a freaking trailer with a text on it that says Metroid Prime, and that was it. Nothing else, Nineball. That does not tell me. That just tells me they could copy and paste and create a Flash, you know, sequence, even though Flash is not even used anymore, you know? So to me, this just tells me there's stuff going around with it. Hopefully, you know, we do hear some stuff, and hopefully it doesn't go the route of Scalebound, you know, Sandust, or that. Even like the new Prince of Persia thing that's been bouncing around so much where it's like, you're like, I don't know what's happening, you know? So I feel like
probably, let Prince of Persia die. That's one game.
Just let the sand run down.
By the way, I'm sorry for this guy's last name.
Who?
I'm Matt Booty.
Matt Booty?
Yeah.
I mean, right now he's making a lot of booty. You know what I mean? He's making a lot of bread, a lot of shosh. So,
yeah.
So I think he's good. I think he's good with having that last name now.
But yeah, I mean, would I wish Perfect Dark would come out? Most certainly. Am I holding my breath for it with this news? No.
Well, as long as they take the Far Side out.
New Prince of Persia.
Oh, my God.
At the same time as Middle East Assassin's Creed. And the sad part is you can literally do that with what the stuff they've been doing, too. Because my bro, TBFFS, plays Assassin's Creed stuff a lot. And it's a lot of that stuff I'm just like, what are they doing? Like, at first I thought it was just like, you know, like this straight up just assassin type, but now it's like you got aliens, like advanced technology shit in there. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
I think that, I mean, there's some games that just lived in the era, and they shouldn't they should just live in that era. So like, for example, GoldenEye. Bringing GoldenEye right now probably is not the best thing to do. I know that's what Xbox is trying to do, but I don't know if you really want a GoldenEye in this day and age. It was a great multiplayer shooter on N64 back in the day. Do you really need it in 2022, 2023, or beyond?
It would need a major, major update. Like, you're talking, like, full, like, remastering. Not like a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to tear the guts out and you need to fully replace it. Because there's so much that's changed since the N64 days of just running through and just shooting people and getting the guns, you know, and trying to hit a timer. Like, no, there's so much more now. Like, take, for example, Hitman, you know? Hitman is, like, the new, like, kind of like what I would think of, like, a new age, like, GoldenEye to be. You know, maybe a bit less sneaky, but more, like, shooting, you know? But you would need to do a massive overhaul on that game just to try and bring it back. Like, trying to reboot and just bring it back as it is just it might be a way of you saying like, hey, for those who love to play in the past, come back and you play it again, which is fine. But
First and foremost, I had an old manager with the last name Bonner, but I know you meant Boner. That would be quite terrible. And then two, you don't want to play a game where all the aiming / movement is tied to a single stick.
For those of you who do not know, he's talking about the old Nintendo system. Pretty much, you had one stick to control it all, and then
it was like playing Doom. Remember Classic Doom?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, like, I couldn't even imagine now. But go ahead, Mildewy.
I was like, nowadays, like you would to bring something back, you'd have to really do a full reboot. But going back to Perfect Dark, would we want it to come back? Yes, but it's going to take a massive overhaul to do it, from what I remember of the older versions. So
they gotta do something about the Farsight.
What was that?
I'm not even going. They gotta do something about the Farsight. That was the cheapest gun ever to play in versus with. because you can see through walls and you can snipe people through the walls.
Yeah, they probably make like a special weapon that only has like an X amount of shots.
If they did anything,
the Farsight.
Well, yeah, like, that's what I'm saying.
The thing is, it's like the Perfect Dark is around the same time as. Let's see here. When was it launched? Yeah, it was around 2000 when this was, but it's got almost feel of kind of like, you know, the GoldenEye series games. But I, like I said, just to bring these games back, like if anyone to go online and look up just pictures of the older versions, like you can obviously tell that these games are dated. So to do a massive overhaul is
we can't just remaster them.
No.
And
that's kind of where I'm going back to, is that, like, I never played Perfect Dark, so I can't speak on that, but I did play GoldenEye, and, like, even if you did a massive upgrade to it and changed all the stuff about it and brought GoldenEye to modern technology right now, I don't think it's needed now. That's the thing. Yeah, like, I think the only thing it's going to bring is nostalgic audience, and that's it. It's not going to include, because now you have Apex out there, you have Call of Duty that's out there that's doing all this. Like, even freaking Fortnite, as much as people hate on Fortnite, Fortnite is filling in that void of what we went through back on N64.
Well, yeah. It'll be a different problem, actually, because all the cliches
don't are gone. Halo. This was
an issue, actually, with the horror franchise, Poltergeist. So when Poltergeist came out, it was like one of the premier horror movies that came out a long time ago. And then they tried to remaster it and do it in 2015. What was it, 2000 somewhere? For the remake of Poltergeist? And the problem was is that every cliche in Poltergeist had already been done to death. Mm-hmm. Everything you've seen in Poltergeist, you've seen before in other horror movies. Even though it was the inventor, it had outstayed its welcome, and it really didn't go nowhere. It kind of just came out and just flew into the wind somewhere.
Yeah, so original Poltergeist was 1982.
Yeah.
And they did the recast, the re-movie in 2015.
Yeah, and it really didn't make waves. Like, when I first seen the remake, I was like, huh. So I went and watched it. They changed certain things, but to be honest, in the end, you're watching something that you've seen before in a million horror movies. And this is why I feel like in the end, where like GoldenEye and stuff will end up at, it'll come out. And even if they do a complete overhaul and all that in a remaster, it's everything you've seen, but already in other shooter games before.
Well, normally with a remaster, though, you would hope, like, and I'm putting this in parentheses, you would hope that they would take that aspect and learn from it and try to make a newer version of the game. Like, because normally when you think of remaster, that's normally what it has to be. Like, because that's going to be something that, you know, as we've seen, like, the Coder remake, the remaster is having, is that they're trying to remaster that and bring it forward. So, but we talked about, like, it's got an old DICE engine for how it does combat and all. So it's like, how are they going to change it? Are they going to bring in, like, with, like, a lot of this, you know, MMO combat that's real-time that they've got going? Are they going to keep the DICE engine thing? Like, how are they going to do this, even though we don't know because they haven't talked about it? So to remaster Perfect Dark or to remaster GoldenEye, they would have to look at all that, like, the core engine, the combat capabilities, the story mode, too. Like, they would have to, like, look at it and then, like, redo it to something that would work in this current age, and while not trying to redo a trope that's already been done or so overused, like Nine Ball Stadium, you know. Yeah. With GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, you could probably do something maybe along the lines with, like, Hitman-ish, you know, with maybe something different. I don't know. Like, there's so many possibilities out there, but really, like, look at the world and see, like, what can you do with it. To be honest, in my opinion, I think, to be honest, with GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, they could probably get away with choice-based decisions as well, depending upon what the story is and how it's being played. So that's just me with what I'm thinking of, like, just, you know, in terms of, like, trying to bring something that old into this current age and trying to touch not only the older generation that played it, but also the newer generation that hasn't played it. And what's Silent saying? GoldenEye remake. It's the same game you love, but for whatever reason, we turn it into an RTS.
Okay. Real quick before Nineball goes, because I know you want to jump off the chair there. I will say, to the point that you said as far as remasters that I'm doing, and I don't want to stay too long on this because we still got more things to talk about, but to your point on that, I think the industry in general has too many terms out there when they talk about remasters. Because you have remasters, you have remakes, you have reimaginings, and them all to a certain degree are like, it's so blended that it's just like, all right, is this a remaster, is this a remake, or a reimagining? Like Final Fantasy VII Remake is literally a remake, but then you look
at it,
it's
a remake or a rebirth.
Silent just said in chat, bro, there's even D-makes. Now that one I think is more unofficial. I see more modders doing that. But as far as like people in the actual like paid corporate canon industry, like that is like you have remasters, remakes, and reimaginings. And they don't I don't see anybody put on the title that this is Final Fantasy VII Reimagined. They just call it Final Fantasy VII Remake. But the description is more of a reimagining of the timeline, which kind of confuses everything, because then you look at RE, was it 2 Remake? Is that the one that came out? RE2 Remake?
Or which one?
Where you had Leon and... Or, not Chris. It was... Yeah, I think it was Leon.
For okay. Resident Evil 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was definitely getting my terminology mixed up there. What I was going for, and I apologize to everyone about this. Like I said earlier when I started, I could not talk today. Is I'm talking about like remakes or reimagines. So they would have to do that, like completely remake it from the ground. Like, you know, not just video, audio, sound qualities or anything, but also story, environments, gameplay, characters, stuff like that. Like they'd have to do a full remaking of the game to bring it into this. Now, reimagined, I think that's something that's, you know, probably towards like remakes sounds like they're taking it almost like probably, I don't know, maybe like 50% of the original game and keeping it or something. Like, I don't know the percentiles, but reimagined sounds like same name, but like completely like just redone almost. So,
well, but even to your point, like, I know you just said that you're mistaking them in terminology on it, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. Because some people will look at a remaster and like, and they'll, when you play it, it's actually a remake. And it's just like, it's just so close together now. That's kind
depends
of
upon,
to,
I guess.
Oh, to be honest, with those two, it's really not an issue. Bond has so many different James Bonds in it, and so many different movies that it's not even funny. You can simply make a sequel to one and put a different Bond there. Mm-hmm. Nobody will notice that it's not David Craig or Pierce Bronson. I mean, it's so many different Bonds in there that it's not even funny. As for Perfect Dark, that's such an older franchise that I feel like you could just basically start from scratch on that one. Only a few people will really know about the N64 version about it, and basically just starting over would be the best bet with that one.
Does Perfect Dark only have one entry, the N64?
It's only got one entry.
It's only the one entry.
It was supposed to be a Perfect Dark 2, but it never launched.
Until now. Yeah.
And it was N64, Xbox, PlayStation 2, say? Hold on. Let's see here. Looks like it's Nintendo, Xbox Game Studio. So, just the Xbox and... they had Perfect Dark Zero, Mindball.
Forgot about that one. That nobody was, talked. We don't talk about that one. It came out and that was it.
That's why I forgot about it. See, I looked at the list. I was like, oh, yeah, that came out. That one came out on Xbox. So, yeah, they had the Perfect Dark series, Nintendo, Game Boy, and then Perfect Dark Zero.
When did that come out?
Dark Zero was 05.
Oh, okay.
Perfect Dark was 2000. And then apparently they did like a... They already did like almost what looks like a remaster in 2010. Oh, yeah, that's what... No, they brought the Perfect Dark to Xbox is what they did.
That's what I said. When you said that, it sounded like that was just brought over very similar to Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, it was. So it was originally N64, but then they brought it to Xbox 10 years later on 2010.
Silent, so. I can't, man. Y'all, Final Fantasy VII Remake is a Final Fantasy VII sequel pretending to be a Final Fantasy VII recreation while presenting itself as a Final Fantasy VII reimagined as an action game. It's so simple.
Ooh, wow. Final Perfect Dark Zero got a 9 out of 10. Apparently, it must have been good or something. What happened to it then?
Unless only two people rated it and then they paid them.
Well, it looks like IGN. Let me see who rated this. GameSpot.
Silent, you're just on fire today, bro. What's going on here, man? What did you have today? I need you to share it. Seven.
He said got a 7 out of 10.
He got a 7 overall at Metacritic out of 266 users and an 8 based on critics. It feels like... Yeah, it probably was one of those games that came out. I believe it was a launch title.
There was an OG Xbox trophy game that was trash. Yeah, that was the they did that in 2010. It was the trying to bring Perfect Dark forward to it, and that should be an example then of like you can't just reimagine and bring stuff forward that like because it's going to require meeting to the current tech standards of the current console. But not only that, but also like, you gotta remember your audience. Like, that game was 10 years old. Like, if they maybe remastered or something, possibly, or remaked, whatever you want to call it, reimagined it, or deimagined, I have no clue.
Or rebirthed it.
It's a very finicky game you're playing when you try and bring these old ones forward, or try and redo them and bring them into the new light, to the new generation. So,
Well, do Parasite
I wish them the best of luck if that they do it and they can do it well, but I'm not gonna hold my breath. I'll wait until I hear way more information and see more details coming out before I, either jump for joy or start crying,
Well, one thing we don't have to wait so much for is story number two, Cyberpunk 2077 DLC. Wait, what? Eddie Makuch from GameSpot says this in their article. CD Projekt Red shared new details on Cyberpunk 2077's first expansion, Phantom Liberty, which I'm going to stop the article right there. Just a heads up for anyone that's watching and that is still playing Cyberpunk or wanted to go back to it. This is the only DLC Cyberpunk is doing. They had plans for more. Well, obviously, the launch happened. It was not received very well. They are doing this mainly because... they said they were going to do it. They promised that they're going to have DLC for it. So this Phantom Liberty is the one and only DLC that's happening for this game, Cyberpunk 2077, and then they're done with the 2077. There might be other Cyberpunk games.
They especially did with several, the, actually, DLCs for it.
Not Cyberpunk just, 2077. The first main big one that's like an expansion. All the other ones were like small fixes and stuff like that.
It wasn't small fixes. A lot of these were not just small fixes. A lot of them added a lot of things. They just didn't charge money to them.
They were free content. This is
one that they were saying to themselves is the first big DLC, period. Like, they're not saying about any small other ones. They're literally saying this is the first big DLC. I'm just the messenger here. Well, I'm going to keep going on here. The paid add-on launches in 2023 brings back Keanu Reeves, Johnny Silverhand for another adventure. Phantom Liberty is prescribed as a spy thriller expansion that introduces a new cast of characters in addition to Return to Silverhand. It takes place in a new, previously unexplored district in Night City. Phantom Liberty is set for release in 2023 across PS5, Xbox Series X/S, PC, and Stadia. It will not be released for PS4 or Xbox One because CD Projekt is ending new updates for those platforms. The new 1.6 update that releases today, September 6, will be the final significant patch for Cyberpunk 2077 on PS4 and Xbox One.
Oh, no, patches. Okay, I see what they did.
Continuing on with that, CD Projekt Red confirmed. This is an update that will add equipable items from Cyberpunk Edge Runners anime to the game. Quote, players will have the chance to don the jacket worn by David Martinez, the anime's protagonist, and wield a shotgun used by another character from the show, the studio said in a press release. Quote, along Edge Runners inspired items, the update also brings a swath of features to the game, including clothing, transmog system, cross-platform progression, playable roach race minigame, arcade cabinets, and much more. End quote, end story. Literally just silence out of the chat says, hot take, Cyberpunk was a great game, plagued by bugs, and mostly due to the fact that it was released at the end of technology generation. I could not agree with you more. I wanted to get more inside Cyberpunk. I own Cyberpunk now at a drastically discounted price, but I wanted to get inside Cyberpunk, but I literally, I would play for an hour and then it would crash on me. And then I'll try to go and play right after that and it'll crash after 15 minutes. I know that I had some bugs with that. I think Nineball was probably one of the few that went a while without having any bugs, but there's more non-success story, like more failure stories of people trying to start the game and it would just not work for them, or they would just crash and lose all their stuff. Go ahead.
Didn't Ohio's system brick because he was
his
or it almost PC. Bricked?
No, he had to get pretty much a whole new laptop.
Oh, it did brick it. Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember if it did or did not.
Yeah,
it was, apparently he tried to install it on there, and I think it just pretty much just caused the whole thing to freeze and crash, and it just would not boot.
Yeah, and again, Ohio was one of the people that was talking up the game. He was like, "Yeah, this is gonna be my game of the year. This is about to be dope." Then it came out and it bricked. He's like, "No, I'm never playing this game. This game is trash." and even in a fixed state, like we would tell him it's in a fixed state. He's like, "Nope, that game will forever be trash to me now." Just like that's just unfortunately the impression that Cyberpunk has left for a lot of people, because it just they launched it in the management, the people at the top, the suits at the top is what were like, "Hey, nope, we got to make sure we're hitting this." This fiscal year or whatever like that for the financial quarter, and it was more of greed that ran them. That's exactly what happened, and obviously you had a lot of pissed off people. I wasn't pissed off, but I did get my money back, and then like I said, I got it again at a drastically discounted rate because I knew eventually they were going to fix the game. They couldn't let something at this caliber just not do anything with it. You know what I mean? You can't just not do anything with this something that was supposed to be generation moving. So,
yep.
I don't know. I thought that was a really. I 100% agree with you there, Silent. I think it was a great game, especially with the whole aspect of choice in the game, which is one thing I love in Dragon Age and Mass Effect and stuff like that. I love those choices, just to have different outcomes, because that also leads to discussions with your friends. You know what I mean? But oh, what choice did you go ahead and do? I did this, and this is what happened to me. Oh man, I lost X, Y, and Z. So, yeah. Stuff like that, and. Yeah, it's just a really shame that they just did not care enough to release it in a more fixed state, or just get rid of last gen in general. We were already there. Just focus on next gen. I think that would have been a phenomenal launch.
There we go. Did you ever beat Cyberpunk 2077?
No. I'm still very early. Like the last thing I did, I'm still very early. Like the last thing I did was after. And I'm going to say this, so full disclosure, if you guys don't want any spoilers, if you guys are still watching this, you guys have been warned. I'm going to share it now. Is when Jackie died. Like, shortly after he died, I went out into the world, and that was pretty much it. That's when, because I'm not far in it at all.
That's like, I think, end of chapter one, if I remember.
That's right. Like at the super beginning, to be honest. Yeah. And I mean, super beginning.
Oh,
to be
honest, it's not even a
spoiler. It's not even really a spoiler.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it kind of is if no one's been that far in, but yeah, it's not that far in. No, like I don't remember where I last slept off because it's been so long since I played it. But my goal is to go back in and definitely replay through and get at least one or two files because I like to do multi playthroughs a lot of times, especially with the amount of choices that they give you for the game.
Yeah,
I definitely want to do at least. Two different run-throughs, and I have my two setups that I want to do, so I just got to go through and create them and get the time to do it, so that's what I'm going to be setting aside of time.
Okay, right now. I would tell you where I'm at, but that would be a massive spoiler.
Yeah.
You already beat the game.
I've beat it once, and I'm on a second playthrough, and basically I'm approaching
the same way. My brother is the same way, too.
I went with a heavy... My first build was a kind of like a tech build.
Oh, the Edge Runners?
Yeah, Edge Runner build. The second one is...
My brother loves that one.
Yeah, it's mine is a straight... This one is like a straight heavy guns build. Like, I'm building, like, shotguns, and I'm just designing myself to more or less take a bunch of damage while putting out a bunch of damage.
Yeah, that's going to be my first... because what I may do is just rebuild because it's been so long.
since updates and everything, I'm probably just going to do a restart.
Yeah, they when I joined my other ones, basically what happened was basically they took all my points off my thing and just had you reassign them because they've completely just
redone the system. Yeah, I've been watching the updates, so I'm probably just going to do that too. But yeah, no, I'm definitely going to do like a heavy heavy tank build, but you know, something that just got it run type of thing, and then definitely want to try that edge runner, but it seems more like a stealth base. So, like I said, I got two ideas.
What kind of edge runner are you going?
I feel like it's kind of like, you know, if you guys have ever played Mass Effect, you know, it's kind of like the tech engineer with like a and you could either go with like, you know, combat engineer, like stealth engineer, like, or you know. Like, especially when you start getting further into the Mass Effect series.
I used to go Adept or Vanguard.
Oh, yeah. Those are fun.
That cyber charge, dude, that bionic charge when you charge up and just ram into somebody.
Yeah.
And it just puts you right in front of the combat and just pull out a shotgun.
Yep. Best shotgun builds out there is the Vanguards. I like just, you know, popping them like a long-range artillery style saw. I use like what was it, Sentinel, I think, because like, you know, tech and biotics just, you know, popping shit from long range and just, oh, you're hide? Nope. You know.
But I agree so much with what Silent said. It has a fantastic story and brilliant characters. Mm-hmm. It was just so sad it was hampered by that launch. And it had like, even though it had like a celebrity voice actor, he felt like he wanted, Keanu Reeves really felt like he wanted to be there. It felt really good. This wasn't like a Peter Dinklage Destiny 1 situation where everybody made jokes like Peter Dinklage like on drugs or he was just sleeping the whole time he did those. This really, I mean, the voice acting did really well on this one. I did like Johnny Silverhand as a character. And I, like I said, I don't want to spoil too much. There's, I think, some other celebrities in there, but I don't want to spoil them.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth a playthrough. It's just a shame that it launched in the condition it launched in.
Yeah.
It could have been Game of the Year, but I don't know.
Blame the guys on top.
Yeah, I'm hope because they did well. The thing about it is the reason why they got so much hype is because of the Witcher series.
Mm-hmm.
Witcher 1, 2, and 3. I mean, Witcher 2 and 3 are 1 and 2. 1 especially is super dated. But Witcher 1, 2, and 3 had really good storyline, really good characters. And I haven't really played much of 3, but 1 and 2. And
this is their first game since The Witcher 3, mm-hmm. so everyone's kind of being really high on it.
Well, they also really put themselves out there for saying that they're one with the... They really want to be with the fans. They really are the gamers. Take, for example, their selling platform. I use GOG, for example. GOG... It's the selling platform, and unlike most platforms, they do not have a digital licensing system. It doesn't have like how Steam and them will have theirs, to where you have to do like digital license and all that. They basically give you the file, they give you the executive file too, executable just in case, and it's your game. I think you have like a 30-day return policy on your games.
Okay.
I want to say that I'm not entirely sure on that, so don't quote me on that right now.
I'm quoting. Marked down, written. Nineball said it.
On at 6:51, September 6, 2022.
Nineball doth have stated 30 days to return.
CD Projekt Red really went out there to put themselves as that and then turn around and see. Yeah, and it really killed the trust of so many people. I'm hoping that maybe they learned something from this and maybe they'll just turn it around.
Weren't a lot of their developers also saying they're trying to get them to not launch it?
Yeah, they're saying like, hey, yeah, because that's the thing. A lot of developers inside of those staff meetings that came out in interviews and stuff was pissed because they're just like, we knew the game's broken and you're still releasing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but to those of you who want to try it, definitely give it a hand now. You know,
it's a lot better.
It's definitely a lot better. It runs a lot smoother. So, you know, it kind of went a little bit of that No Man's Sky route. You know, at the beginning it was kind of clunky, but you know, No Man's Sky though had an excuse. CD Projekt Red didn't.
Yeah, he kind of, that was just for No Man's Sky. Like, I watched that video, and it was really good about that.
Yeah.
The guy really went into things he shouldn't have, and that's what did No Man's Sky. But that's a whole nother story.
Like I said, completely different story, but, you know, one excuse, the other one didn't. But try it out.
Completely different story, just like our story number three, a potential Spidey leak. Dalton Cooper from Game Rant says this in the article.
Did you hear this on the web?
Leaker Millie A has hyped up Spider-Man 2 from an Insomniac game, saying that the game is exceeding expectations and gameplay will be shown soon. Spider-Man 2 was first announced in September 2021, but fans haven't seen it since. However, if Millie A's information is accurate, it seems as though Spider-Man fans will get to see the long-awaited sequel again sooner rather than later. Taking to Twitter, Millie A said that Spider-Man 2 on PS5 is quote-unquote exceeding expectations for Marvel higher-ups, and that the graphics are so impressive that one employee thought that they were actually watching a cutscene. Millie A ended her tweet by saying that Spider-Man 2 gameplay will be shown soon, but stopped short on providing specifics on that front. While Millie A did not reveal exactly when Spider-Man 2 gameplay will be shown, it's possible that it could be as early as this month. Persistent rumors have suggested that Sony is prepping its annual PlayStation Showcase for some time later this month, and if that comes to pass, one has to imagine that Spider-Man 2 will be a likely candidate for the event. Sony has not actually announced that any such event is taking place, though, so fans should definitely keep their expectations in check before getting too excited. End quote, end story. So I have a couple questions for you guys, and I want to start it off. Well, yeah, I'll start it off. My first question is, do you guys think that PlayStation is going to have a showcase this month? We just entered this month. We're literally six days in. I have 24 more to go. Do you guys think that there's going to be a PlayStation showcase this month? Then this is my first question. I'll tell you my second one in a second. I think that if we're going to have a PlayStation showcase this month, it's going to be announced this week or next week. If we don't, I think that a PlayStation showcase will likely be on like the 22nd. Next Thursday is TGC. Or TGS, the Tokyo Game Show. So I think that if PlayStation wanted to do something, it would have to be on the 22nd or the 29th. I don't think you want to end the month with a event. I could be wrong, but I don't think you want to do that. So I think 22nd is going to be the likely answer. So with that being said, that would give them a marketing push of this week and next week. That's when I think that will actually happen. What any other thoughts?
This scares me.
What the PlayStation Showcase?
No, I'm sorry. It was something else involving that. But normally when I hear stuff like people saying that, oh, the guy said it looked almost realistic, it generally scares me. But I'm hoping it looks good, though. But anyway, let me answer your first question. I'm more inclined to believe you. Normally they launch on Thursdays, if I'm not mistaken.
Lately, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking down late Thursdays as well, so I was thinking the 22nd or the 29th would probably be one of the best ones. I'll maybe push you more for the 29th, maybe. Because you want to hit around the time to where you're going to get close to Christmas. Mm-hmm. And you kind of want to put that in kids' mind, though. Ooh, they got Spider-Man coming out. Maybe I want to get a PlayStation 5 finally. And you can push for that around that time. If they don't, it will show up at the... When is the Tokyo Game Show?
It's literally next Thursday. Not this Thursday, but next Thursday.
Okay, next Thursday, that will be on the 15th, yeah. It would be at the Tokyo Game Show. It would be the only spot. I feel like it would be that at the Tokyo Game Show. Or probably, you might be right on the 22nd. Maybe next week.
Yeah, because of what it is, I don't think PlayStation is going to share the spotlight at any other platform. I think they're going to strictly show this at their own showcase. Like, if it was like Deathloop, which we've already been Deathlooped out and all that good stuff. But if it was Deathloop, I can see them doing that. If it was like Ghostwire Tokyo, I can see them doing that. I can even see them doing Stray or Sifu. I mean, obviously, all those games are out already. But if I'm talking about on that caliber, I could see them doing that. But anything that's like your Spider-Man's, God of War's, Horizons, anything that's like Sony is known for, I just personally don't see them showing that anywhere else besides their own showcase. But Mildewy, what are your thoughts about this?
I mean, to be honest, you've got 3 months. Well, I mean, depending upon how you count this month, you technically kind of have like 4 months, well, 4 months-ish to the holiday, you know, end of holiday season, you know, to when it actually, it's like, you know, hits the final full peak and being done with. So you've got about 3 months to go before, like, to get like the big shopping season and get people shopping and all up to the end holiday point, which is around December time, you know, when a lot of different holidays take place and all. So I could definitely see, like, at the latest, towards the end of the month of the 29th, being the last, like, the latest, that they would probably do an event. And that's to showcase stuff to get ready for, like I said, the common holidays. Because I've got a feeling that a lot of these companies are going to want to put that stuff out early, because a lot of people are going to be shopping early for stuff, you know, with the current just environment. It gives me a little bit of a feel of that, but that could also just be me. You know, I'm the type who would be like, oh, let's just go and get this done now, versus waiting until December when everyone else is going crazy for it too, you know? So I definitely would say, though, I could see one this month, maybe 22nd, 29th, you know, because then that way you go into the next month fresh with this list of games and stuff coming out and all, and people can start doing preps, shopping, you know, all that stuff, because definitely by November they're all going to be shopping. Black Friday sales for sure. Anything that any of the other sites, groups, companies, whatever do in terms of like holiday sales or pre-holiday sales stuff, you know. So I could definitely see them doing one anytime. I mean, I definitely don't see it this week, possibly not next week. So just 22nd, 29th is where I would probably put it. But I've been wrong a lot before, so don't quote me on that one.
Before I get to my second question, I do want to take back what I said about the 29th. I think I actually kind of do agree. I know I said 22nd, 29th, but likely it's not going to be the 29th. It might be the 22nd if they announce it, meaning that they have to announce it this week or next week. And I still think that they have to announce it this week or next week to get people hyped about it and build anticipation and people plan around it so that way they can be at the event or be able to view it. I take back it not likely being the 29th. I think the 29th will have just as equal as ability of being there, simply for the fact of the matter is that gives you enough time apart from the Tokyo Game Show to have nothing else going on and every single eye being on you. So I think that that could happen, even though for Americans, the Tokyo Game Show is extremely early in the morning. I think it's like at 2 in the morning is when it starts, which is like 2 p.m. for them. I think that if you have nothing on that day, or even the week before that, I think that gives people even more time to be like, okay, this is what PlayStation has to do. I'm not going to play. I'm going to get rid of all my expectations and focus on just what PlayStation has to offer. So I think that the showcase, it can be on the 22nd and 29th. So I do renege my statement as far as it being 22nd, 29th, unlikely but possible. I will say 22nd or the 29th. And then my second question is, in the event, I personally hope this doesn't happen, but in the event that PlayStation Showcase does not happen this year, because they don't have to do one technically, but if it does not happen this year, are we seeing Spider-Man in 2022?
Yeah.
You still think so?
Yeah, she said you're going to see things really soon. That generally means probably sometime this year, I'm betting. Even if we don't see it here, it's going to be probably either at Tokyo Game Show or it'll just show up at the Video Game Awards.
Okay. What about you, Mildewy?
Kind of on the same page. You know, they'll definitely show something. You know,
It could be one that's not even at an actual event. It could just be a trailer that's launched and released, you know, for the holidays. You know, so normally though, PlayStation likes to tag their big ones that they know will be like good sale items. So if this is a true thing, you would think it would be there, unless, like Limbo said, it's not coming out this year, but it's something that could come out like the next year or so. Then they would probably tag it at the VGA Awards then, probably, if at all. Showing off a big thing during the big hype moments, you know, of like, hey, here's the games that won this year, but guess what's coming out next year, you know. Yeah. That sort of thing, you know.
Probably show it at the end, because that's going to be the last thing you remember or see.
That one I'm more... So I am actually more on the negative side of it, that I don't think that if we do see... If PlayStation doesn't have a showcase at all this year, I don't think we're going to see any Spider-Man, period. Mm-hmm. Just because that's how much... I personally think that that's how much Spider-Man means to PlayStation. But the only thing I would say is that if it's at something... I don't think it'll be a Tokyo Game Show by any stretch of the imagination. But I could see it being at Video Game Awards only if it is like a... Here's one more thing. Just because, again, the caliber that Spider-Man brings to the table... But again, I can't help, like, I still think that that's a worst-case scenario if Sony does not have anything this year. But I honestly would even say that they probably wouldn't even show that at anything if they're not going to show it at their own conference. I can't say how much that I think Spider-Man means to Sony and Horizon and God of War and all that.
Well, because it means so much, they would definitely be doing something then, because... They want to get that news out there. So if they don't do an event this time, then they're going to try and showcase it, you know, to get people ready for it. Now, that then kind of shows, like, with how much there. Like, I would be very, very surprised if they didn't do, like, some form of showcase this year. You know, because they have been doing it at least once or twice, you know, like, at least twice so far.
Yeah.
In the past couple of years. So... You know, we are about due for another one, if I remember right. So it wouldn't be surprised if they did like a mid-season up, like, you know, towards like, you know, between second and third quarter type of update, you know, or third and fourth quarter updates were saying, hey, here's what we've got going on, you know, for you, the gamers. But, you know, things have been weird lately in this, you know, era. And also, I feel like it's one of those things that you really can't put a bet on. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I feel like they would try and get the news of Spider-Man 2 out there in some format, either their own or by definitely VGA is a big place for them to truly get like a large audience. Because normally when you say PlayStation, like, you know, you probably have a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm not a PlayStation person, so I'm not going to even bother, you know, or they'll check it out later on. But if you want people like right then and there, like live audiences, I feel like VGA definitely would have a huge audience, because you're talking about games across the different platforms and consoles. Yeah. So you've got a bigger group, and that would be a bigger area to slap them saying, hey guys, here's what's coming to PlayStation, you know, that sort of thing. Or even other consoles too. So I feel like that's definitely a good spot to do it if they don't do their own.
Is there anybody that is like super excited for Spider-Man 2? Anyone planning on getting that launch, or are you guys... not excited, or are you guys excited but waiting, or like what where's everyone's hype level at for that?
Excited and waiting. I enjoyed the first Spider-Man. I actually kind of want to go back and play through it again. It was actually really fun. I loved the full environment that you could go swinging through. Different side missions they gave you were a lot of fun. Like, now I'm not talking like just fetch quests and stuff like that. They actually had like little mini story based stuff that you could do in there too. So that was very entertaining. Like, actual like, like, you know, solving some mysteries, like, you know, different gang stuff, or like, you know, those type of quests. So that was a lot of fun and very interesting. So I really enjoyed it. So if they keep that same energy and momentum that they had with that, and kind of like with Miles Morales, like, and they really bring it up and step it up, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Don't know about first day pickup. It would depend upon when it's being launched and what's kind of running alongside of it, but it's definitely would be something that's really on my radar to play.
Nineball?
Backlog.
Did you play Spider-Man 2018?
A little bit. I really have a massive backlog. I gotta play through that. Let's just put it like that.
I think we've all
got so you probably have to. So you have to get through 2018 and Miles Morales. Then if you haven't played that, then I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'll put it on now. I gotta make space on my PS5 too.
Complete Sims. Complete Sims, Fortnite.
Yeah, I this one likely is going to be a day one pickup for me, but it, as you mentioned there, Mildew, it does kind of depend on what's coming next to it, because if they announce that's a 2023 release and it's going to be launching like a week away from Final Fantasy 16, then it's going to have to wait. It's definitely going to have to wait. But if it's a good distance far in between, or if we get like a bonus from our jobs and stuff and I'm able to go in and throw a little extra, then I'll pick them both up. But as far as current standings with that, I am, this is a day one pickup for me, pending what's releasing next to it. I do want to go on over story number four, but before we do it, I'll remind you guys that ALWT Gaming is in a fantasy gaming league, which is very similar to fantasy football.
And fantasy critic!
And for anyone that's been following us on our streams, we've been talking about it, so that way we can kind of see where everyone's at. See who's in first place, all that good stuff. It's on a 100-point scale. Anything that's 70 points is the threshold, so anything above 70 points on Metacritic will gain you points. Anything below 70 points will lose you points. And then anything that's right at 70, you neither gain nor lose. There are these things called counter picks that you can try to screw up your opponents with, and everyone's competing against everyone at the same time. But you can only have one counter pick for an individual, so you can choose your opponent wisely. And then if that game does great, then not only does your opponent that had picked that game, if it comes out and it does great, then they'll get those points. But if I were the one to counterpick it, I lose those points because it did great. If it does terrible, then not only does the person that I chose that have that game counterpicked, they would lose those points, but I would gain the points because it did terrible and I called that it was not going to do good. And if it does not release that year, that also prevents the other person from dropping that game. So you kind of screw them up on points that way because they can't switch up for another game. And right now, I'm going to still go with the orders of greatest to least, first place to last place. First place still, without picking up two other games, he still has two open spots, is MOGA, Make Ohio Great Again. And that is Ohio. He has Elden Ring, which got him 31 points. Pokemon Legends Arceus got him 14 points. Sifu got him 10 points. Legos, the Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga got him 12 points. Marvel Midnight Suns is pending to come out this year. He has Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, got him 17 points. Still has two open spots. And has a counterpick of Suicide Squad, Killed the Justice League, which is on Renzokuken's list and is not coming out this year. In second place is Carrot Patch Inc. by Mildew Carrot. He has Gran Turismo 7, 17 points. Tunic, 15 points. Splatoon 3, pending. Stray, 14 points. Salt and Sacrifice, 5 points. Advanced Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp, pending. Sons of the Forest will not release this year.
That's twice now. That spot's cursed for me.
He has an open spot, and he has Jokobo GP as his counterpick, which is also on Renzokuken's list, and it got him 5 points because it came out and did not do as hot as... I don't think anyone's really expecting it to be that hot. In third place is Zaka Corp by It's the Nine Ball. He has Tiny Tina's Wonderland, 70... Or he has 8 points. Saints Row, the reboot, got him negative 5 points. Total War Warhammer 3... got him 16 points. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 got him 19 points. 19 points. Look at that. He has Warhammer 40K Dark Tide pending. Scorn pending. Live Alive 11 points. Star Ocean The Divine Force pending. And he has a counterpick of Marvel's Midnight Suns, which is on MOGA's list. In fourth place is me representing ALWT Gaming. I have Horizon Forbidden West 18 points. A Plague Tale Requiem pending. Ghostwire Tokyo, 7 points. Gotham Knights, pending. King of Fighters, 15, 10 points. Mario Strikers Battle League, 3 points. The Callisto Protocol, pending. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, pending. Bayonetta 3, this is my counterpick, which is on Illuminatus Living's list. We have 5th place is Renzokuken by Silent. He has God of War Ragnarok pending. Triangle Strategy, 13 points. Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, not coming out this year. Jokobo GP, negative 5 points. Kirby and the Forgotten Land, 15 points. Metro Prime 4, pending. Digimon Survive, 6 points. Slime Rancher, not coming out this year. And then Slime Rancher 2. And as a counterpick of Diablo Immortal, which brings him up to 34 points. And then...
5 points. And yep, Immortal was...
Yeah, and that was on Illuminatus Living's list. And then lastly is Illuminatus Living by ELSB Live. He has Dynamite 2, Stay Human, 6 points. Bayonetta 3, pending. Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, 2 points. Mario plus Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, pending. Diablo Immortal, negative 5 points. Shovel Knight Dig, pending. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, pending. He has an open spot, and he has a counterpick of Saints Row, which got him 5 points. So he's at 8 points. He's not at 0.
His counterpicks these years has been like, dang.
Yeah, I know, right? So there you have it. Back to the stories. As I pull it up. Xbox, this is story number 4. Xbox, from rumor to reality. Alex Hopley from Game Rant says this in the article. And this is something that we had talked about last week, actually. And now it's actually confirmed from Microsoft. When gamers think about their subscription services, it's hard to find Xbox Game Pass not to pop into their heads. The monthly paid services from Microsoft brings new titles to subscribers consistently, even granting them day one releases for less than half the cost of the game. As Xbox Game Pass gains in popularity, more and more titles are being announced for it. And with new games such as High on Life and Warhammer 40k Dark Tide coming to the service in the next few months, a lot of gamers are finding new reasons to sign up. Previously, only an individual could sign up for Xbox Game Pass without the ability to share their account and benefits. But it appears that Microsoft is looking to change that as it officially unveils Xbox Game Pass Friends and Family Plan. Back in March, it was predicted that Xbox might add a new subscription plan to Game Pass, and now, 6 months later, that prediction has came true. Currently, the Xbox Game Pass Friends and Family Plan is only available in Ireland and Colombia. Xbox has yet to confirm when the new subscription tier will roll out to other regions, but should the Friends and Family Plan prove successful, it will likely be a matter of time before it is released in other areas. The Friends and Family Plan allows users to share the Xbox Game Pass subscription to up to 4 other players. And this is not inside the story, but it is going to be for $10 more. So for $25 a month, four people can split the cost and have themselves Xbox Ultimate for the Friends and Family Plan. What does this do for you guys? Is anyone planning on taking advantage of the Friends and Family Plan other than myself?
I don't know. I have to find some friends. I have family members that have it, but I have to talk with them and see what they say about it. Because I might go with that.
Is this something Mildewy Carrot that would get you back into Xbox Game Pass at all? Mildewy there?
Yeah, no, I'm here. I'm looking at it. I'm just trying to think.
He was super still and quiet. Yeah, I was like, did he freeze?
I think the same thing.
So I guess I'd have to just really look into it a bit more and figure out if I want something I want to do. Right now, like, you know, I've got a large backlist with stuff from Steam and with PlayStation that I need to play through and want to play through. So I feel like adding in Game Pass would just get me even further distracted now. The thing with it, this is, though, it's like I can't really share it with people because I don't really have, like, friends or family that would want to play on it. You know, I mean, I could talk to TBF Abyss and see if he's interested. Maybe we can tag on it. But like I said, right now we're pretty much busy with Steam and PlayStation. So right now, probably really not. So, I mean, it's nice that they're doing that, though, because it definitely shows that they are looking to try and get access to more people while trying to find ways, you know, because you do hear about family plans and stuff like that, so it does allow for that. I guess I'm also kind of curious on, like, is it, like, can you,
Because I remember on like the older systems, like you could like reload like your Xbox profile onto someone else's system and still play online there. I don't know if you can do that, or if you can do it on new PCs, or if it like they got this whole like back and forth thing of like, you know, you like you say it's like, you know, friends and family playing up to share up to four people, four of the players, but it's like, is that four logins? Only like four, you know, PC IPs? It's kind of like, you know, it just makes me think of the Netflix crackdowns that they were trying to do. You know, if they saw too many different IPs or something on there, then your account got like a warning or shut down or something. So
yeah,
that's, it's just a curiosity, but I'm pretty sure Microsoft's pretty good about that.
I think if anything, they're doing the opposite
of what I've touched them.
Yeah, I think they're doing the opposite of what Netflix is doing. Because Netflix, like, if I share my information with my sister-in-law, or which I am doing, if I do share that information with my sister-in-law and she's able to watch Netflix,
you're
like
not
stuff,
supposed
cool.
to say that.
Allegedly, here's the thing, though.
I am paying for like the one where it's like, you know, the secondary screen and all. They're like, you know, someone like, it's like direct family or something. I'm like, I've got direct family that I'm sharing it with. You know, they may not be with me, because I'll tell you what, people, if you expect me to live with my folks consistently, I'm like, the only time I'm going to do that is when the economy goes shit tank crazy, and I can guarantee you, if it does that, I'm dropping your subscription first.
Yeah,
so, like, I do the share thing too, but that's with direct family and all, so I mean, it's like, I feel like as long as that's within that aspect, it's fine, but you never know, because of all these different IP things, like, well, if someone travels, you know, and they're like, you know, they're in, you know, Cancun for a month because of some biz or something, and they've been watching Netflix down there. Is Netflix gonna be like, oh no, no, someone's in Cancun using it. You can't do that. Shut down the account. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's just a concern when I hear like sharing up to four people and all. Like, how, what is the security side of that? Just because I want to make sure everyone, like, no one get, like, gets screwed over by it. You know, I'm pretty sure they'll have pretty good details and all. And like I said, it sounds awesome that you can share up to people. You know, you can, guys can split going on stuff, or like, and I don't know. Did they mention cost in here at all?
No. That's what I'm saying, is that it's not inside this article, but it is going to be $25 a month for up to four people. So if you split that up, that's seven. Like, yeah, that's the family. That's the friends and family, because the normal standard, like, Game Pass Ultimate without like with just one person is $15 a month. So that's going to be so $10 more, $7.25 per person.
But so it's like, for single persons, 15, upgrade to by 10 more, you get four people, and they get the same access.
That
sounds awesome. That sounds fine. You know, especially for those people who are on there, and like, if you've got a big family or something, you know, you can now share that Game Pass. You know, you can all be on live, have four accounts logged into it. You know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of applaud that, you know. I don't see myself taking advantage of it right now. Glad to know it's out there. And if I get point where I do,
it's coming to, right now it's not out there for you guys. It's just,
I'm not saying it's out there to purchase on, but it's the concept and thoughts out there. You know, so I'm glad it's out there. It's kind of being run through. But as of right now, I'll be staying on it as is. Like, if I need to do live stuff, because like, I've been wanting to play Grounded with people, but it's like, you need to have an Xbox Live account. I'm like, I'll look into that later, but so awesome that they're doing it. I'm okay.
I'm definitely, this is something that's not, I'm definitely interested in. Again, for someone that does actively have Game Pass, there's select people that I'll be wanting to go in this with, assuming that everyone's available. Aside from the people at ALWZ Gaming, there's a couple people on the outside that may be interested inside of it too as well. Once that bridge comes, we can definitely talk about that and look into it, because I think that that'd be a great benefit to have. And then it would
literally sign up now, people. Are you Malachi's friend? Do you want to join him in gaming?
Yeah, leave a survey. No, I'm just kidding. It'll be one of those things that I think will be pretty awesome to be able to tie in a little bit better. And also, that literally will cut the bill in $7.25 more. So you can use that $7.25 elsewhere if you wanted to, assuming that you got all four friends to do it for you.
You could go on to Ray Sports and get yourself some workout powders, energy supplements, stuff like that. I'll check out with the LWT Gaming code out there to get 15% off, so that $7 can go a long way.
There you go, right there. Plug it in right in there. Red Sports, RAPPSports.com. Like you said, WLWT Gaming. Check out, get 50% off. That's where your $7.25 can go to. You know what I mean? That's where you can go to.
You did more smoother. I felt like Porky Pig right there. Update, go to the rest of the park. I get rep. Just Just go shop, folks.
Speaking of plugs, let's go to story number five.
Story number five. It's an end of an era.
That sounds like it's being unplugged.
Tom Warren from The Verge says this in the article. Sony's longtime PlayStation hardware chief is retiring on October 1st. 60-year-old Masayusu Ito, who led the engineering for both PS4 and PS5, is retiring, as reported by Bloomberg. According to Sony communications manager Kathy Liu, responsibility for the PlayStation platform, which includes the hardware engineering, security, product strategy, and design, among other things, is still led by Senior Vice President Hideaki Nishinoi. Nishino was promoted to that role in March of 2021 and reports directly to SIE President Jim Ryan. Current director Lin Tao is taking over Ito's role as Deputy President and Representative Director of Sony's Japan operation. Sony announced the change in a brief press release today. Ito originally joined Sony in 1986. That was 2 years before I was born. Before moving to the company's PlayStation division in 2008 to lead PlayStation hardware engineering, Ito oversaw the engineering for the PS4 and hugely successful console that hit lifetime sales of 117.2 million as of March. The PS4 even reached a milestone of selling more games than any other console in history last year. Ito was also responsible for the creation of the PSVR headset and the PSVR Pro and Sony's latest PS5 console. Sony began to work with the PS5 in 2015, and Ito and his team spent 5 years designing and developing the console. Ito detailed the PS5 development process ahead of the console's launch in 2020, revealing that Sony focused on reducing noise level and improving cooling capacity in the PS5, alongside favoring, quote, a well-thought-out, beautifully designed architecture, end quote, inside the console. So not really much more to say there. Just, again, this guy, Ito, Masayusa Ito, has been there for literally some years. Literally 30, 40 years is what he's been there for. That is crazy. Almost 40 years. That is crazy. So congratulations, man. Appreciate everything that you've done for the community, and you deserve this rest. You deserve this retirement.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, please say retire, but don't say rest like that. he's not dying. Yeah. He's retiring, okay?
Yeah, take some time off, you know what I mean? Go travel the world, which I know you probably already have.
He's probably like counting down the days. And then he's out of there, bonsai! He's running out the door.
Some guys speed. But not like, go ahead.
Definitely just the resume he's got: PSVR headset, PS4, PSVR headset, PS4 Pro, and the PS5 guys that we're all just so happy with currently. Like,
yeah,
the fact that he was lead director on those things, like, just, you know, round of applause for his time and effort and with the dedication to Sony and to the players, all trying to give us a console that works so well and, you know, gives us the games that we want. So appreciate it, man, and, you know, as we've all said, you know, enjoy retirement, live it up.
Yes, 100% agree.
And see you online, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I'm gonna speed rounds through some fun ones to end it out for the day. For just little throws out there. PS5 SSD storage. Jasmine Manon from GamesRadar says this in the article. If you're on the hunt for a PS5 SSD deal, then we recommend checking out the particularly strong 50% discount. You can now pick up the WD Black 1TB SN850 NVMe SSD with heatsink for $139 at Amazon. Opens tab. Usually $279.99. We have seen the MRSP slowly come down over the course of the year, meaning that the deal prices are even more worth picking up. This PS5 SSD has come lower than this price once before, with it coming down to $109.99.
That feels more like it.
Meaning that if you're looking to pick one up now, then now is the time to take a peek. We can't be too sure if we'll ever see a price like this again, as we rarely see deals this big. We typically slashes coming around 25%. So there you go. If you guys are looking for an SSD storage, that's one that you guys can get. Once again, that is a WD Black 1TB SN850 NVMe SSD with heatsink. That's important, with heatsink.
You were telling me about this earlier, and you didn't tell me it was an NVMe. I thought you were talking like it was an external SSD.
Yeah, no, that's the full title in there. I just briefed that as PS5 SSD storage.
I still don't know how to install any, and I got to read about how to do that.
It seems a lot easier on the PS5 than it was even on the PS4, and the PS4 was actually pretty easy.
NVMe's are not that hard to do. Think of it like a USB slot and all.
I know that. It's just I'm more worried, do I have to remove the other NVMe to put in a new one?
No. If I remember right, what it is you pop the top casing off, there's an extra NVMe slot that's casing, at least that's what I remember. You know,
does it come with its own heatsink in there?
No, I think that's one of the things that they state is you have to get a heatsink.
Yeah,
that's what they did. They didn't do a heatsink with it, so it's either you get one of the heatsink or you have to get a heatsink added onto it. So, terabyte is okay. I mean, I'd probably say they'll wait, guys, because you know what we talk about. Like, you got sales coming up, so you're going to have Black Friday sales and all that. You could probably get those for even cheaper. So don't jump on the wagon now. Keep an eye out, because you could find something that's even better down the road.
And what's even better down the road is fun one number two, Final Fantasy 14 Celebration. Hiring Cryer from Games Radar says this: Final Fantasy 14's director wants to do something flashy for the MMO's 10-year anniversary next year in 2023. Currently, the 9th-year anniversary celebration for Final Fantasy XIVs are rolling on, with in-game festivities celebrating the milestone since Realm Reborn was first launched. Now, game director Naoki Yoshida has been asked to whether he's thought ahead on the game's 10-year anniversary next year. In short, he has. As Yoshida said on the forum Eorzea with Love, opens the tab, with Yoshino Nanjo radio segment translated by Final Fantasy 14 community Discord, opens the tab. The development team wants to go big on next year's festivities. Square Enix devs apparently want to do both in-person events like Final Fantasy 14's long-running fan fest, as well as in-game events. So if you guys are up in Final Fantasy world, 10 years is coming up next year. That's ridiculous. Fun one number three, congrats leagues. IGN staff says this in their article. In today's Compete Fix, League of Legends, Arcane wins a historic Emmy Award. Evil Geniuses are heading to the 2022 League World Championship, and Team Liquid dominates the Valorant VCT despite some hiccups. Stella has
Evil Geniuses?
Yeah. Stella has all of your up-to-date esports news right here on IGN's Compete Fix. So, again, congratulations to Arcane for the Emmy Award. And then also...
needed one. That was a really good show.
And also winning the Emmy was congrats to RIP Chadwick Boseman. Adam Bankhurst from IGN. The late Chadwick Boseman has won a posthumous Emmy Award for his work as Star-Lord T'Challa in Marvel's What If... ... And has added another accolade to his incredible career that ended way too soon. Boseman, who passed away in 2020 at the age of 43 after a battle against colon cancer, won the award at Saturday's Creative Arts Emmys presentation at the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles. So again, another gem gone way too soon, but I am glad that he's still being remembered as still winning awards and stuff like that. He definitely deserved it. And then to end out the day, we have Xbox Game Pass games that's coming to Xbox this month, as well as PlayStation Plus games that's coming to PlayStation this month as well. So Xbox Game Pass games, Robert Anderson from IGN, Xbox has confirmed the first wave of games that are coming to Xbox Game Pass in September, including the already added Grid Legends, Disney Night Dreamlight Valley, Opus Magnum, and more. But there's already a whole lot, a slew of other games that we know that will be hitting this game subscription service throughout the month. One game that is leaving that I was not expecting to leave, that kind of hurts me a little bit, but it's fine. I can still pick it up for cheap, is Final Fantasy 13. I was going to start that at some point relatively soon, and that's leaving Game Pass console and PC the 15th, so in 9 days. So there's really no point in me starting it because of how long that game is. And then the PlayStation Plus games that's coming, Stephen Petit from GameSpot says, it's the first Tuesday of the month, so it's time to claim the latest batch of PlayStation Plus games. September's 2022's PS Plus Essential lineup includes Need for Speed Heat, Toem, and Granblue Fantasy Versus. That's a pretty solid lineup, as all three of the freebies are worth playing. All PlayStation Plus subscribers, regardless of the tier, can claim the PlayStation Plus Essential lineup each month. Later this month, PlayStation will add extra and premium library with Deathloop, Assassin's Creed Origins, and more.
So Granblue Fantasy. Like, I've eyeballed that franchise. I've never played it.
Yeah, it's Granblue Fantasy Versus. So it's a fighting game. It's not like the action, the adventure that Granblue is pretty much known for.
All right. One quick thing I want to say is I am really glad to see League of Legends Arcane did win. I told people about a billion times. It is definitely a show worth a watch. Like I've said before again, basically when I went into this series, I had virtually no expectations. I kind of walked in there just thinking it was going to be just introducing people to the world, but they did such a good job on show presentation and character development, which was huge in that show. It felt really, really good. It is definitely one of what worth a watch, and it's one of their stronger shows on Netflix too. So if you haven't seen it, give it a watch just to see if you like it or not. They have a season 2 already acknowledged, and how it left, it leaves on a cliffhanger where season 2, you know, it's gonna be season 2, but I'm kind of interested to see where they go with that season 2.
There you have it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that has been our All Things Gaming episode 32 for season 2, 2022. A lot of twos, as I like to say. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. If you guys have not, just one thought, a little reminder out there. If you guys not have done this already, if you guys have Amazon Prime or Amazon account and Amazon Prime and Twitch, and you guys combine your accounts together, you guys have what is called Twitch Prime. And on that, monthly, you guys get a free subscription that you guys can issue out to any Twitch streamer out there. If you guys would like to use it for us, we would greatly appreciate that. No harm, no foul. You know what I mean? Just a little easy peasy. Twitch is not going to remind you. Amazon's not going to remind you. So let ALWT Gaming remind you to put it out there if you guys like to use it for us. If not for us, no harm, no foul. Just go ahead and use it for another Twitch streamer, because that's just $5 you're wasting otherwise. You know what I mean? Again, it's free. If it's free, it's for me. That's what I like to always say. Might as well go ahead and do it. You know, help them out a little bit. Spread the love. Spread the love. This Thursday is going to be our SIN segment as we go further inside of Iceborne. We're going to try to get through some more story content on that. And then next Tuesday is going to be our All Things Gaming. And then next Thursday, I'm debating of what we're officially going to do. I think we are going to actually do TGS reaction, but we shall see. And then in one of these Saturdays is going to be our 9-to-5 segment. So be on the lookout for all of that. Again, we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. I am Flash, a.k.a. Malachi36. This is It's the 9 Ball. And this is Mildewy Carrot signing off. Until next time, everybody. Control, Alt.
Complete.